This morning, our devotional and background study comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast out your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom as if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Our lesson text today takes up where the devotional background study left off, and that will be the 15th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew. I'll read that, and then I'll try to bring out some things. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And our lesson key, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, in the devotional and background study, we were told to judge not that ye be not judged in the first verse of chapter 7 here. There, some people take the attitude that we are not to condemn sin from that, and I don't think that y'all fall into that, but I want to be clear on the start here that sin is not okay, and we as God's people need to stand up and for the things that the Bible teaches are sinful and say those things are sinful. We need to not be okay with it, and speaking for myself, I'm afraid I tend to go along with things in the world, because it's hard. It's hard. You don't want to buck a trend. You don't want to stand up and say, well, you know, the Bible says that's wrong. The Bible teaches me not to do those things. Now, I may be able to avoid the some sins and keep myself above those things, but to tell other people many times, that's kind of hard to do. And we don't want to offend people and turn them away from the truth and from the Bible by being too harsh and putting them down too much, but at the same time, it's not okay to just go along with these things that are wrong and going on about us. Where we need to have to be careful is that while we can recognize and tell people that, you know, certain things are wrong and certain things are required from God for people, it's not our place to penalize, to put forth a penalty, to say, you know, because you did that, this is going to happen to you, or this is the penalty that people have to pay for sins. That's God's domain there. That's God's area that He will bring forth the judgment in that sense. But we're taught what's right and wrong in the Bible. If we study our Bible, we know how that we ought to conduct our lives, and we know how that men in general should conduct their lives. And that's where we need to be. That's where we need to focus and to concentrate on living our lives in a right manner before God and doing what we can to teach other people what's right and what's wrong. But when we see our, whether it's a brethren in a church or a sinner out in the world committing sin, we don't have the right is not the right word to use here, but it's the only one that I can remember. We don't have the right to prescribe a penalty for that other than to say the Bible teaches me that action is wrong. So I wanted to bring that out to kind of differentiate and explain, you know, judge not that you be not judged versus beware of false prophets, because which is where our lesson text today takes up. Beware of false prophets, because there's going to need to be some judgment there. There's going to be need to be some discerning as to whether sin is occurring, whether things are being taken care of in the right manner, to decide if we're faced with a false prophet. Because there are men today standing up all across the United States proclaiming to be Christians, proclaiming to teach the truth, saying that this is what God wants people to do, and yet they're false prophets. And then they can blend in, they can be very deceptive. The Bible teaches us that Satan is able to appear as an angel of light. If it be possible to deceive even the very elect, that is God's own people, us that are saved, can be deceived if we're not careful, if we're not where we need to be. So, and I think that's what Matthew here is warning us about, to beware of those things. They're in sheep's clothing. They're pretending, acting as if they're a saved individual. They're acting as if they're one of God's own people. But inwardly, it says they're ravening wolves. So we need to be aware of those things. And the way that we're aware of those things is we keep our eyes open, we keep our ears open, we look at the things that are around them, the things that are going on in their lives, what they're really saying, what they're really leading people to do and say and act. And we have to have our hearts in the right place. We have to be drawing near to God, be prayerful to God that He would be with us. You know, I quoted some scripture there that were about how that Satan was able to appear as an angel of light, if it be possible to fool the very elect. The way that it is possible to fool God's people is when God's people fall away from God and allow things of the world to enter into our lives and to separate us from God. And that's when we're not aware of these false prophets that come about. The thought comes to my mind as I stand here and try to talk to y'all, you know, that if we're be aware of these false prophets and how to tell if someone's a false prophet or not. And I guess one of the thoughts that always came to my mind when I see people preaching on television is, at the end of the thing, are they asking for money? Are they accepting money? Are they even putting forth a way that you could give them money? To me, that's a big red flag right there, that there's something wrong. If they're taking money from the world, from the lost sinners, if they're willing to take money from the lost sinner, to me, that's wrong. And you may have a different opinion, I don't know, but I don't think that it's okay for us as God's people to take money from lost people. And the reason is, we have a duty and an obligation to God to spread this gospel, and it is not to be spread for money. We owe God this. We owe God everything that we have, and you know, one of our primary responsibilities, one of our primary duties once God saved our soul is to spread this gospel, to tell people about it. And I have a feeling, a very strong feeling in my heart, that it is always wrong for us to profit from that, without exception. So, as I said, you know, a red flag that comes up to me is if someone on television is taking money, then I view that as a wolf. And now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to support our pastor. That is our duty also, but that is our duty as saved individuals. That's not coming from the outside world. That is an internal church thing, and it is our duty to support him, I believe. Carrying on now, it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" I guess I've pretty much covered that. I think that, you know, what's going on about them? How are they presenting the gospel? What are they saying men need to do? And we'll get over, I'm going to cover that a little bit more here when we get to the 21st verse here. But it goes on to say that, well, let me stop just a minute. In 1 Peter, let me go to 1 Peter here so I can get this right. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." That is speaking of us. That is speaking of us that were once lost and are now saved. We are a peculiar people. We are separated from the world. We are to live our lives as a separated people. And we are a chosen people, he says here. We're called out of darkness into a marvelous light. And it's our duty and our responsibility to allow that light to shine forth that others might see it, that people might look at the fruits that's in our lives. Then, and to me, part of that fruit is a peaceful, calm spirit, that when things are going bad in my life, people might see me handling that by the power of God, by God being in my life and guiding me and helping me through the rough times, because we are all going to have rough times. We're going to have sickness, death, all types of things go wrong in our lives. That's part of living in this world. That's part of being a mortal man in this world that we live in. But we as God's people have a help. We have one we can turn to, Jesus Christ. And he will give us strength and an assurance and just the ability to get through that. The outside world can see that. They can sense it. They might not know what's going on, but they know that somehow or the other, we've got something. That's where we let our light shine. That's where we set our candlestick out so that the world can see it. And that's what I think Peter is telling us here. We have that. We have that light that can shine, and we have that assurance from God that he'll see us through. We have we have obtained mercy, he says in the 10th verse. He goes on here to talk about a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. We've talked about in times past, and the Bible teaches us that the works of a sinner, of a lost person, are as filthy rags. Lost people can't please God. They can't do anything good. in the eyes of God. Until a person has repented of their sins, turned to God with a broken and a contrite heart, and been saved, that is when they can begin to serve God, begin to work for Him, begin to put their light out upon a candlestick that it might be seen. That's the turning point. There is, for myself, I'm no, there's nothing in me that was good when I was lost. And, you know, when I was trying to be saved, that fact kind of eluded me for a little while. I kept praying, and I was asking God, and I was doing everything I could. I was trying to give up on myself as all I could, and people were telling me what to do, and they were describing what would happen, and they were doing everything they could. Some of y'all were talking to me and leading me on, and I just couldn't seem to quite get there. There was something in my way, there was a couple of things, I guess, but one thing that was in my way was, I didn't fully acknowledge to God that I was completely worthless. You know, in my mind, I held back a little bit that, you know, all right, 99% of me is sinful, but hey, there's at least a little bit of something here that's not totally bad. Well, that was wrong. But when the realization came to me and I admitted that I was completely and totally, from the very top head to my toes, a sinner and not worth being saved, that's when He saved me. When that thought and that realization came to me, I guess I'm straying off course a little bit here, but what I'm trying to get out is that up until that point, I couldn't do anything right. I couldn't please God. I couldn't serve Him. Everything that in my life was going to be a corrupt fruit, so to speak. We could really get into a whole different conversation there, and I don't want to. That'd be a different lesson also, as to people doing things, you know, right. And by right, I mean there are people that help other people, and I don't mean to say that they're not helping other people, and I don't want to get my lesson sidetracked here, but they're not serving God when they do those things. Whether they help the homeless or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that to help other people, and for the lost people to help other people, but they're not serving God is what I'm trying to put out there. Okay, in the 16th verse it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits," and that's repeated here in the 20th verse, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." I want you to think about the fruits here as their service to God, how they're serving God, how that what they're doing, is it spreading the gospel? Not necessarily are they helping other men, are they helping feed and clothe people, because there are lost people out there doing those things, and I don't want to condemn them, I don't want to criticize that, but are they serving God? Is God getting honor and glory from their actions? Because that's the fruit that will last forever. If when we serve God and when we have our hearts drawing near to Him to do what He would have us to do, because you know you can feed somebody that's hungry and homeless, and we ought to. I don't want to try to give you the impression that is not important, but what's really important is the salvation of the lost. What's really important, what is going to last throughout eternity, is when a lost person hears the gospel, repents, and is saved. No matter what we do for people as far as comforts in this life, eventually this life is over and those things are gone on. So, but what's really important is the spreading of the gospel, the salvation of lost souls. And he goes on here to say in the 21st verse, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Let's go now for just a second to John chapter 3, and this is familiar to all of you. 3:16 is where I want to start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stop here for just a minute and see here where it says in the 21st verse, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That brings up the question, what is the will of his Father in heaven? Well, he says here in the 16th verse that he gave his Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, that is, it's God's will that people be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, going back over here to where we're to be fruit inspectors, we can say what sin is and when sin is being committed, but we can't condemn people because lost are already condemned. It just says that right here. Because he believed not, he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People are already condemned. There's no point and no reason for us as God's people to be condemning people, but rather to be condemning sin, to speaking up and saying sin is wrong. Whatever it is, whatever sin is being committed, it's wrong if it's sin. Reading on in the 19th verse of the 3rd chapter of John, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There is a whole world out there that doesn't want to hear this. And we read in the devotional background studies, it spoke about casting your pearls before swine. I believe we all agree here that God's not concerned with pearls that come from the oysters, and he's not concerned with swine trampling anything underfoot. He's talking there about us as God's people going out without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, going out upon our own and going forth and just picking people who we think we ought to be talking to and taking the gospel out, but rather to be led by the Holy Spirit, because there is a whole world here that loved darkness rather than light and that just will refuse to hear it. And I believe that's what he was saying in the devotional background studies, is he's not sending us out to people that he already knows are going to refuse it, that are going to turn their hearts away, but rather we're to be led by the Holy Spirit into who we are to speak to and how that we're to conduct ourselves. Reading on in the 20th verse here, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. People don't like to be reproved. People don't like to be told that what they're doing is wrong. You know, I don't like to be told what I'm doing is wrong, although it's necessary. And if y'all see me doing something that's wrong, it is your duty to point that out to me, not with spite or hatefulness, but with love. And I'm afraid sometimes that we as a church, God's people as a church, have fallen down on those things to judge that fruit when we see our brethren getting mixed up where they don't need to be or doing things that they don't need to be doing. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to talk to them to try to keep them from straying too far. If we don't do those things, then, you know, there's the very real possibility that they're going to continue on, and next thing you know, they're not in church, and, you know, look at where that gets us. And it's very possible that one of us could have gone up to somebody and said, hey, you know, you need to be careful. You need to be in church. You missed two or three Sundays here. Is everything okay? Because they may miss two or three Sundays and then just say, I guess it's not that big a deal. Everything's going along all right. Nothing really bad has happened to me. it was kind of nice sleeping in, and it is. It's easy sometimes to just do what you want to do, to let it slide just a little bit. And so that kind of ties in here with us as God's people, looking at things, looking at what's going on, looking at how our brethren are being treated, how they're treating other people. Just have our eyes and ears open and our hearts attuned with God, that we might do these things in a right manner. You know, I think that that's a really important part there. You can do the right thing in the wrong manner, and it's not going to work out very well. So I hope my lesson wasn't too scattered. I know it was scattered somewhat, but hopefully it wasn't too bad. Does anybody have any questions, any comments?
Mm-hmm. Trying to question what their fruits are. They're putting books out for everybody to sell, and they have no testimony of salvation at all. Mm-hmm. I was reading here in the conclusion remarks. We must watch, listen, and determine the direction of men and women by the fruit they produce, and decide if we are to be any part of their orchard.
Exactly.
And also, just as God separated the light and the darkness on the day of creation, He has appointed you and made you do the same in the society in which we have been planted.
Mm-hmm.
They sell a lot of books, but they have no testimony. The research in them, they don't have any testimony.
Yes. And I agree with what you're saying. There's a, you know, I don't see any difference in that. Writing a book like that and selling the gospel. Well, I guess there is a difference, but I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you that we need to be very careful not to get caught up in that. It's okay to read books, and you know, I've read some good commentaries. This Bible that I have here has some commentary in it, but it's just the words of a man. It's not, and they're not inspired words. It may be that some of them are written by saved people. I don't know. But still, you know, it's nowhere near and should never be thought of as being on any level with the Bible. You know, the Bible is the book that we need to be turning to, studying out of, meditating upon. If we read other books, that's okay, but we need to keep in our mind that it was just written by a man that may be way off base. You just don't know. And until you meditate upon it and think about it and compare it with the things that you've read in the Bible, how it lines up with that, we just need to be careful with those things. Does anyone else have anything?
Good lesson.
Thank you. If there's nothing else, I'll ask Brother Langford, if he would, to dismiss us until 11 o'clock.
Be able to